All right. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Yes.
And His presence is here, and I'm so very grateful. And I just want to you know, I was reminded as we're singing, not all churches experience the blessing of the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit like we get to every Sunday. And so I'm grateful for Him allowing us to be in His presence today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, put a marker there, and then flip over to our series passage of Psalm 103. Romans chapter 5, put a marker, turn over to Psalm 103. We're in a series, we're coming close to the end here, called Divine Benefits. And I'm really grateful for what the Lord has personally taught me through this series, and I've heard feedback from many of you of how the Lord has been speaking to you through this series. And so I'm grateful for what He's been showing us. I want to recap quickly about what we've learned so far. And if you've missed, see, summer months, we all are kind of displaced and we're coming and going. And I know traveling. But if you haven't been here, I encourage you to go onto our website. You can listen to the podcasts, actually, of the sermon for this series. If you're a podcast kind of person, like to do that and do errands, get your earbuds in or whatever you want to do, we have those of that available to you. But here it is. The first message was divine forgiveness. That was the first benefit. And then divine healing. And we had a tremendous service with divine healing and learning about that. Last Sunday, the message was divine redemption. And if you remember, we extracted four Greek words that painted the picture of what redemption really means. And I believe that we walked out with a stronger understanding of what redemption means. This week, we're on the fourth benefit. So the title of this message is Divine Crowns. Divine Crowns. And then we'll conclude this series, not next week, but the week after. Next week is our Harvest Sunday, and that's where we kick off to our fall. Everybody, hopefully, back in the saddle, and grades move up, and we all the things. And so this is also a day to invite someone. So this is kind of the kickoff to our fall year, Harvest Sunday. This is it. A lot of training and preparation going on. You can pick up a card at the table as you exit and invite somebody to come with you to be a part. Let's everybody, as much as we possibly can, be here and ready to go to engage to hear about what the Lord is going to be doing this fall. Now, let's begin reading in Psalm 103. I'm going to ask if you stand in the honor of reading of God's Word. But before we do, I'm going... let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate this for us. Here's what I'm going to ask for you to do. If you're holding a Bible, if you just maybe open up a hand, or if you're not holding it, whatever, but I just want you to hold up a hand if you feel comfortable doing so in a gesture of receiving, okay, of receiving all that the Lord wants to give to us today. Would you do that? So, Father, we humble ourselves now as Your people. And Lord, we humble ourselves before Your throne, and we come to You rejoicing with our worship. And Lord, we've given that to You. And now, Lord, we ask that You would give to us through Your word, fill us to overflowing, and we have our hands open, Lord, as a gesture to You that we want to receive from You. And so, Lord, would You do that? Would You illuminate truth, illuminate it, bring it to light, let it jump off the page to us. Lord, would You knock on our doors and ring our bells? Lord, open our eyes and our ears, Lord, as Tanner prayed for earlier today. Lord, we trust You now. This is Your moment. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing. Here we go. Psalm 103, we're just going to read the benefits, starting in verse 1. Here we go. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget His benefits, the good things that He does for me. And here they are. He forgives all of my sins, praise the Lord. He heals all of my diseases. Thank you, God. He redeems me from death, and He crowns me with love and tender mercies, and He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you for those benefits, Lord. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so it says here, He crowns us with love and tender mercy. So I want to discover what it means to be crowned. And in order to do that, I have three questions, and those three questions are going to be my points today. So here's point number one, if you're taking notes in your worship guide. Here's question number one, what is a divine crown? What is a divine crown? Now, since God is the one who crowns us, obviously it's divine because it comes from God. So what is a divine crown? A crown throughout Scripture, and you can write that, a crown throughout Scripture always represents authority. A crown represents authority. So God gives us authority and wants us to walk on this earth with authority. I'm going to show you, and we'll unpack some of that today. But I want to remind you, Jesus, God's Son, walked with authority when He was on the earth. Is that true? Yes or no? He walked with authority. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and I want to show you what it says. Matthew 7:28, it should be on your screen. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at His teaching, for He taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of the religious law. He taught with real authority. See, they had never heard teaching and preaching like that before. There were not other synagogues around that the preachers were preaching like Jesus was preaching in that moment. In other words, what we'd say Jesus on the Mount, He brought the word. That's what we'd say. Jesus, and they had never heard anybody do that. And they were like, where did He get this authority? And that's the question. Where did He get the authority from? See, many people believe, well, He was just Jesus. Well, He just came with the authority. But I need you to understand something about authority. All authority is given. All authority is given. When we quote the Great Commission, you know the Great Commission, we typically start at the commission itself. Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples, baptize in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. But I want to show you what Jesus says right before He says the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:18, He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, look at this, all authority has been, what's the word? Given to me in heaven. Heaven and an earth. You see that? All authority given to Jesus. John 13:3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything, and He had come from God, and He would return to God. So John 13 is the chapter where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Now I want you to think about this for just a moment. How could He have washed their feet without authority? And it tells us He knew that the Father had given Him the authority to do that. Authority is given, and a crown represents authority given to us. So when it says He crowns us, it is representative of the authority that is being given to us. Oh, and by the way, authority can be taken back, and authority can be lost. Now, I need you to hear me say this. Authority, no matter the position, is given by God and God alone. You can have a position and you can have a title and not have authority. That can be true. It is true that with position comes responsibility, but there are plenty of times where people have positions of authority, but they don't have authority. Because authority comes from God and God alone. And it's important for us to understand it and understand that. Furthermore, it's important to understand there are plenty of churches across the world that they have a pastor with the title and the position, but the pastor does not stand under the authority of God. God is the one who gives the authority. Authority doesn't come from the way someone talks or from the way someone walks or carries themselves. It doesn't come that way. We can't will ourselves into an authoritative role in Scripture. Jesus came as the Lamb of God. Have you ever stopped to think about that description of Jesus? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is described in many times as the Lamb of God. He came humble. He came meek and mild. He did not strut around a know-it-all big shot. But he came loving and merciful and kind, yet he had all authority given to him. And everyone that came in contact with Jesus knew that he had authority. So what is a divine crown? I need you to know that the crown is authority. Here's the second question. Here's number two. Why are we crowned? Why are we crowned? Okay, if we know that we're crowned with authority, then why are we crowned? So this is who he crowns us. So I'm going to answer this question, and then I'm going to show you in Scripture. But the answer to this question is he crowns us and gives us authority to reign in this life over sin and death. You follow me? He gives us authority to reign in this life over sin and death. Now I want you to turn over to Romans 5. If you put a marker there, just flip over to Romans chapter 5. In verse 21, it says this. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, here's what this passage in Romans is saying. Am I in the right place? Are y'all in the right? Are y'all following me? Okay. I'm making sure y'all got quiet. Here's what it's saying in Romans. It's saying that sin reigned in our lives and death reigned in our lives until what came? Until grace came. All right, so sin and death ruled until grace came. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, then grace reigns in our life. Yes, grace reigns in our life. But then there's the question. So then how do we reign in this life? If grace is reigning in our life, how do we reign then in this life? Now I want you to look back at verse 17. Look back at Romans 5, verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. Watch this. For all who have received it will live in triumph or reign over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at that part again. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph. How do we reign in triumph in this life? I want you to catch this. It is not by doing. It is by receiving. Did you catch that? Okay. In some translations, it says receiving an abundance of grace and righteousness. Now, I'm going to confess to you today that I know I need an abundance of grace every day in my life. I don't need just a little bit of grace. I'm one of those special projects. I need a heaping pile of grace on my life. If you don't believe me, ask Carolyn. I need a lot of grace in my life. I need a lot of God's divine enablement and empowerment in my life and his mercy and forgiveness and grace. I need it. But here's the problem. I think there are a lot of believers who don't really believe that they need, just don't need an abundance of grace anymore. When they got saved, see, they knew that they needed an abundance of grace then, but now, see, now people have been walking with the Lord for a while, and we've got a good grasp on the way things are, the right patterns and the things that we're supposed to say, the behaviors that we're supposed to do. We're reading the Word now. We're praying regularly now. We're leading and serving in the church, and all of those things are absolutely wonderful. But I want you to hear me. We all still need to receive an abundance of grace every day, and the gift of righteousness. Now, you do know what righteousness means. Righteousness, it means just right standing with God. That's what it means. We're put in right standing with God. And the only way that we can come in right standing with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only way. And we receive the gift of right standing with God. And that's how we reign in this life. That's the benefit that we must receive continually. Okay. Last week, if you'll recall, I read a verse in Revelation, and it was talking about how Jesus redeemed us. Do you remember when I read that passage, those of you who were here? And it's amazing to me how the psalm passage in 103, the third benefit is redemption and the fourth benefit is crowns. It's amazing to me because I want to show you something. This blew my mind for a minute in my office this week. Look at the Revelation passage that I read, Revelation 5:9. Here's what it says. Look at this. And they sang a new song with these words, "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal to open it. For you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed," or redeemed, there's the redeemed part, "people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Now watch this, verse 10. I'm excited about this, can you tell? "And you have caused them to become kings and priests," or a kingdom of priests, there it is, "for our God, and they will reign," and or they are reigning on the earth. Do you see that? Redemption and reigning right there in Revelation. That's amazing to me. All right, so now, why did he make us a kingdom of priests, or some translations say kings and priests? Why did he do that? So that we could reign. That's why he did that. I want you to think about this. Kings reign, priests point people to God. You with me? All right. And he made us kings and priests. Let me tell you what God is getting at here. Let me tell you what he's getting at. Well, let me tell you what he wants. God wants you to be able to reign over sin and death in this life, and to help other people reign over sin and death in this life. And he wants us to be kings and priests unto him. That's what he's getting at in that passage. And the reason that we can reign on this earth is because we know God has crowned us. He has given us authority. The reason Jesus walked with authority and power on this earth is that he knew he had received the authority from his Father. I need you to know this today. I need you to walk out the door with this nailed down, that you have received authority from God the Father to reign over sin and death, just like Jesus did, and that you are to help point other people to God so that they can reign over sin and death, just like Jesus did. And do you remember when Jesus said, "I see and do what the Father says and does, and I need you," when he was commissioning them, "I need you to watch me, and you do what I say and do." In prep for this message, I read a story. It was interesting, and I wanted to tell you about it. It was about a man who owned a company, and his son grew up in the company. And then his son went away to college, but every summer when his son would come home, the son knew the business so well that the father trusted him to lead the crew, the field crew. One year while the son was away, there was a new person hired. And then when the son came back, the son was put in charge over the crew again. The father gave him, he said, you take the crew, and I'm going to work in the office. The new guy didn't know the son. And they were out on the field one day, and the new guy, he just started to cuss up a storm. And he was doing that in front of the clients and out on the field. And the son pulled the new guy aside, and he says, "Hey, we don't do that here in this company, and I just need you to stop that kind of language." And that guy looked at me and says, "Well, who the blankety blank are you?" Right, that's what he said. Just cuss him out. And he says, "Well, my father owns this company. My father owns this company, and he does not allow that kind of talk here." And this guy just continued, "Well, I can cuss if I want to, blank, 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 you know," and don't fill in those blanks. And he just blankety blank blank. I cuss if I want to, and you know, and the guy, the son, he says, "Well, if that's the case, then you're fired. And you can go sit in the truck, and you'll wait to the end of the day." And so at the end of the day, they all came off the field, and the new guy marched into the office and looked at the father or the owner, and he says, "Your son just fired me." And the dad said, "Well, why did he fire you?" He said, "Well, because I was cussing." And he says, well, then you're fired, because I've given my son the authority to do that on the field. See, the son knew that he had the authority of his father And so he was able to represent his father and conduct business and exercise his authority on work in the field. You see where I'm going with this? Our Father has invested authority in us to represent Him so that we can conduct His business in this world. That's why He's crowned us. Here's the third question. Here's the third point. With what are we crowned? With what are we crowned? Now, here's why I made this point specific like this, because I think some of us in the body of Christ can focus on the crowning. I have been crowned. I have been crowned. Do you see my crowns? I've been crowned. And we focus on that we've been crowned and not on what we're crowned with. So I want you to look back at our passage in Psalms, Psalm 103:4. The second part of that says, "Who crowns me with love and tender mercies." Now, most translations say loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness and tender mercies. So it's not just kindness, it's loving kindness. And it's not just mercy, it's tender mercy. By the way, this word crown has a second meaning in the Hebrew, and it means surrounds. God surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He just does. He surrounds us. Our God is a merciful God. He's merciful. He's famous for mercy. God loves to be merciful. In fact, he's so merciful that even his throne is called the mercy seat. Did you stop to think about that? Matthew 9:13, this is Jesus talking. He says, "Now go and learn what this scripture means, and I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices." So he's putting mercy there. And real quick, I want just to remind you of the definition of mercy. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. You have the right to give it to them, but you don't. And not only that, you withhold with compassion. Along with the definition of mercy is compassion. If there's one thing that I want you to leave here with today and let it change you, it's this one thing. We should be the most merciful people on planet Earth. Why? Because we've received so much mercy. And we should extend mercy to people. The divine benefit of a crown of mercy is that you're surrounded in it. You're surrounded in it, and it's an overflowing benefit, and it should be given. Now, this phrase, loving kindness and tender mercies, David uses this phrase a lot. He uses this phrase a lot, and I want to show you a couple places. Psalm 25:6, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness." Psalm 40:11, he says, "Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me." Psalm 51:1, and this was when David confessed his adultery. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." See, here's why I think David used this passage so much, why he used this phrase so much, is that he understood and he had received an abundance of grace and mercy in his life. I think he understood that he had received a gift of righteousness. I think he understood the authority that had been given to him by the Father, and he knew that it could be taken away. And if we walk in the humble authority that has been given to us by these crowns of loving kindness and tender mercy as believers, then we will be reigning over sin and death in our lives. Now, I'm saddened by the way a lot of Christians walk and talk today. There is so much arrogance and lack of mercy and compassion in the body of Christ instead of humility that Jesus walked with. We're so quick to judge and sentence someone instead of showing mercy and grace. See, we like the reigning part. We like how that sounds to us, but we misapply it. And in our self-righteousness or our self-appointed authority, we think that he called us to reign over everybody. And instead of over sin and death.
And in doing so, we fail at showing loving kindness and tender mercies to those who might be among us who need it so desperately. And when we do, we grieve the Spirit of God that is trying to be at work in the life of a sinner who needs it most. You know what that tells me? That tells me that there are many believers who have not fully accessed the divine benefit of the crown of love and mercy. They are not walking in the authority given to them. That's what it tells me. How many times has the Holy Spirit been drawing someone to the Father? How many times? My brain thinks like this. How many times has the Holy Spirit, he's been at work in somebody, maybe a non-believer. Maybe he's been at work and he's volleyed the ball to you. He set you up with a divine appointment. But because you have not accepted and received the authority given to you, when that moment came and you had the opportunity to bless that person with some tender mercies and some loving kindness that had been extended to you, you failed to do so and you squandered a holy divine moment. Because remember, God always works in cooperation with His people. You say, well, God, He doesn't need me to do that. You're right, He doesn't, but He chooses to need you to do that. He works in cooperation with His people. It requires obedience of us to take authority that's been given, that's been crowned to us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Here's one final thought. This idea that He's crowned us, I just asked the Holy Spirit this week to just give me a picture. I often do that. I'll ask, Lord, just give me a picture in my mind about what You mean by this. When I'm reading something, I'm like, just show me what You mean in my mind's eye so that I can understand, so that I know what it means, so I can grasp it and I can share what it means. And as I've worked through this, here's the picture that keeps coming to my mind, and I want you to see it too so that you'll never forget. Let me tell you how He crowns us, how He crowns us. Here's the picture. He took the crown off of His Son and He placed it on us. And then He took the crown that was meant for us and He placed it on His Son. And I want to read to you the passage that comes to mind, and I want you to take it in because I want you to hear and see with your spiritual eyes and ears. Mark 15:16. It says, then the soldiers led Him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison, which could be about 100 soldiers. And they clothed Him with a purple robe, and they twisted a crown of thorns, and they put it on His head, and they began to salute Him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck Him on the head with a reed and spat on Him, and they bowed the knee, and they worshiped Him. And when they had finished mocking Him, they took the robe off of Him, put on His old bloody clothes back on Him, and led Him out to crucify Him. The King of the universe took the crown that belonged to us and died and rose again so that we could receive the crown that belonged to Him. Now let me tell you what we should do with those crowns. Let me tell you what we should do in response to that. We should respond like the 24 elders in the book of Revelation, and we should cast down at His feet our crowns every single day and say, You are worthy of all glory and honor because You have redeemed us to God and You have made us a king and priests to our God. Anything that You have crowned me with, God, any benefit that You have given me, God, I cast at Your feet and I adorn You with it. That's how we walk in humility in the body of Christ. That's the benefit of divine crowns. That's what that means. You crown us with Your loving kindness and Your tender mercies so that we can reign in authority over sin and death in this life.